This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He drives one in the air to right. If it stays fair, it's got a chance to leave the yard. That ball is gone. Pete Crow Armstrong with a home run to right. Cubs lead 2-0. The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. High fastball got him. Cubs win the game and they sweep the three-game series.
You know who that is. That's our friend, the birthday boy himself, Pat Hughes, calling part of what ended up being a three-game sweep of the Cubs over the Rockies. And we're happy with that. It's okay. They don't always have to be world-beater games. It can be a 2-1 ball game, and you can appreciate the art in it. And I feel like that's what happened over this past three-game set. The weather dictated we weren't going to see a lot of runs being scored. But I think there is an expectation where when the general manager talks about blowouts being the true measure of success of a team, you expected to see one in that three-game set against a Rockies team that is now 9-47. It's not even June and they already have 47 losses.
Or it's not even June and they're still looking for their 10th win. Single digits is crazy.
Yeah, the math is mathing hard here.
You know what I was thinking about yesterday? I was watching that Wolves game. And I was like, oh, what's worse, 9 wins at this point or 9 points in the first quarter of an elimination game for your team, like a playoffs in home elimination game? They're both pretty bad.
I think the first quarter one might be worse because you got the opportunities to get you there, and then you just lay the biggest of eggs.
The biggest thing about this series is what I learned from it, what we're starting to learn about this team is they can indeed win without putting up double-digit runs in a series. I love that. They outscored the Rockies over three games, 9-5, including 2 one-run wins, a game that went to extra innings, which we had the opportunity to go to, and now they've won 4 in a row, 7 of 8, 10 of their last 12, and are now 12-3 in the stretch of 21 straight games against sub-500 opponents. And the whole point is you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat if you're a good team. And when I say supposed to beat, I don't mean other teams you're contending against for the division. I just mean the bottom of the barrel teams, teams who are in last place.
I mean, I will say this. Typically when we see a division or a team who far and away has more wins than anybody else in the respective league, whether it's AL or NL, it's usually because they're in a division that has a team that's as bad as the Rockies. Part of the reason for the Dodgers' inverse record is because they've had so much success previously, especially when it was the unbalanced schedule. You know, that was a big reason why. That's why you saw the likelihood of 100 win seasons for a lot of these teams, is because there was one team like that that you could beat up on a regular basis. This is different, but the 2-1 game is sexy for me for a lot of different reasons, just because it comes down to the finer points of baseball. One of the things that baseball did, not just in having the now balanced schedule, was also that they wanted to encourage stealing when they increased the size of the bases. We talked about it a little bit when it first started to happen. I feel like that was a focal point the first season after. But now you're really seeing the fruits of the labor. Like, here we are talking about the importance of sending PCA in the 11th inning and making that gutsy steal of third base, for example. You're understanding how that played into a just simple base hit for Matt Shaw, resulting in a Cubs win. You know, those are the finer points. Same with this 2-1 ball game. Again, we talk about PCA, but this time it's because that home run that he hit was bizarre. Like, the question on MLB.com was, how did he hit this? And I get it, because that thing was low, and the launch angle he had was 36 degrees. Like, that is wild.
PCA continues to amaze, looking at a possible 40-40 season, if he can keep it up. And I'm not saying I do or don't expect him to keep up this current pace that he's on, but he's probably going to have a very good season this year based on what's already transpired. Whether he becomes a 10 war player or he's just a 6-7 war player, it's going to be a very good season for Pete Crow Armstrong.
These are your options.
And so these are great options. And people want to find, you know, the holes to poke in whatever is going on, even when it's positive. That's just kind of where we are.
We do it too. But yeah, it's just a matter of case-by-case basis.
But I want people to understand, just because they didn't score more than 4 runs in this series in any individual game, they scored 3 runs, then 4 runs, then just 2 runs. But the fact that they were able to win those games, that's important. And it's something we talked to Ian Happ about. And listen, this is not unexpected, because weather is a factor. And yes, it's almost June, but it has not been warm. It has been cold and the wind has been blowing in. But I asked him specifically about Wrigley Field in these conditions, and he talked about how this is kind of how they have to be able to win games when they're not putting up 7-8 runs.
When you're playing in an environment like Wrigley, you know, the last couple of days, the wind's been blowing in. It's tough to score runs.
Yeah.
It's a really tough run-scoring environment. We hit a bunch of balls hard yesterday that, you know, on a normal day or in a different ballpark are probably putting up a bunch of runs. I think Dansby hit the first 2 balls that he hit were absolutely scorched. And so when you're on the wrong side of it, from the wind standpoint, like, they had 2 balls that got out the last 2 days, and we hit a bunch of balls hard that didn't go. So
Carson Kelly almost hit one.
Yeah. Carson hit a ball, hit a rocket that just got caught up. And so it's tough to be able to put up runs in that environment. So you're going to be playing close games. There'll probably be another one tonight. I think the wind's going to be blowing in again. So you're sticking with it, and our offense has done such a good job of that. And I can't say enough about what the bullpen did, locking it down yesterday, and Flex coming in and putting up those 2 big innings to give us a chance.
So you hear that from Ian Happ before the 2-1 game that transpired before our very eyes last night. And it gives you an understanding that these players know what they're up against and they're comfortable with it. And you might be like, well, how can they be comfortable with only scoring 2 runs, 3 runs, 4 runs? We've been seeing an explosive offense. I think the reason people aren't as happy with what just happened, even though it was a 3-game sweep, and that's the best you can do when you play 3 games, is win all 3 games.
What about the Rockin' Jock, where there's like a 4-point shot and stuff?
No 4-point shot here. There's no 5-run home run to be had.
Oh, man.
Here's how I know Ian isn't just comfortable with playing in those conditions, and he talked about having somewhat of an advantage because they're used to it. It happens all the time when you play at Wrigley Field, especially at night, right? Because I asked also, okay, so you are scoring 6 runs per game. Is that actually sustainable? Something that only one Cubs team in history has ever done before, of doing an entire season. Here's what he had to say in response to that.
I think as long as the guys stay healthy, I think this is the version of the Cubs that we kind of all expect or believe that we can be. And it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be exactly like this all year, right? You're not going to get the exact performance from every guy. There's going to be ups and downs for everybody. But I think our lineup's built in a way where when one guy is going through his 2-week tough stretch, the other guys are going to pick him up. And I think you'll continue to see that kind of throughout the course of the year. And I think as long as, like, we stay healthy, I think we have the ability to do that. And to the point of the weather, like, we've been the best offensive team on the road in baseball this year. And I think that's kind of a testament to our ability to hit balls out of the ballpark, our ability to score in different ways. And it's something that I think I've talked about a lot today, but I really do believe that that's what makes this sustainable, is it's not just guys hitting homers with two guys on base. It's a lot of different ways and kind of up and down the lineup. It's not two guys that are carrying the whole group. You know, Pete and Saya and the amount of runs they've been able to drive in has been awesome, but you're getting it from Tucker, from Carson, from Miggy, from Dansby, like all the way up and down the lineup. You know, you're getting production, and that's huge.
Just keep naming names, because all the names from top to bottom have been doing big things. And I love that he mentioned the offense on the road and how great it's been. Most of their big, huge games, they either come when the wind's blowing out at Wrigley, or just all they have to do is play away from Wrigley. And the biggest thing, Layla, got a great test of that coming up. 10-game road trip. Nine-game road trip. No place better to test it out than a nine-game road trip.
Yeah, and three of those games are against the Detroit Tigers. And if you really want to see if you can bop, that ballpark will let you know. I also appreciate the lineup that we saw yesterday. 2-1 ball game, right? So for me, that's like special happy time. We saw Ian Happ leading off. Then it was Tucker. Then it was Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki, you're one of the RBI producers in that game. You got two. So he's batting third. He's your DH. Your cleanup hitter, Pete Crow Armstrong, I mentioned the home run. He was your other RBI producer. He was batting cleanup in that game. Then you had Carson Kelly. Then you had Michael Bush, Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, Matt Shaw. That's how that lineup should look. And in case you're wondering if this Cubs offense is doing more than you even may think, given the RBI production, far and away the RBI leader in Major League Baseball, 322 of them so far. Number two is the Dodgers at 301. Yankees are third at 293. That's statistically significant when you consider the difference between the Cubs and the Dodgers' RBI production.
The Dodgers are raking. Freddie Freeman is putting an exclamation point on his Hall of Fame career right now.
He's having a fabulous season.
And all that to say, as long as they can figure out the starting pitching element of this, because now it's gone from, okay, you know, the concern was third base, right? Mm-hmm. And the concern was the bullpen. I have more concern about the starting rotation than either of those two departments when it comes to the Cubs right now, because I believe that Craig Counsell has it going with the bullpen. Different guys coming up, different guys doing roles. Guys hurt, doesn't matter. And then Matt Shaw at third base has solved a lot of the questions about the lineup in general. And where did I tell you PCA should hit? Where did I say Pete Crow Armstrong should be hitting?
You had him hitting right where he was hitting yesterday.
Clean up.
Number four.
That would be number four. That's exactly where he should be hitting. And so now I'm just looking at the starting rotation with, do you have enough bullets from the five guys in the rotation right now to get not only through the regular season, but to mount a postseason run? They're going to have to make a trade for, if not one, maybe two starting pitchers.
And also just giving some more fun with numbers here. If you need more to prove that this is not just about one or two people on the Cubs lineup, but the entire lineup hitting in a hole. When I tell you that they've got 322 RBIs as a team, consider that in the National League alone, your top three in OPS all belong to the Dodgers. It's Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, and Will Smith in that order. What does that say when it comes to how good your lineup is as a whole right now? Like, this is a team effort we're seeing.
I think the situational aspect of it, the Cubs have just come up so big in so many situations, and that's how they've been able to build a record 14 games above 500. The fact that they are playing right now at such a successful clip is telling you, hey, just beat the teams you're supposed to and then compete with the other good teams. You don't have to beat them all the time. Because remember, before this stretch of games, they had lost back-to-back series against the New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants, but it hasn't mattered in the grand scheme of things.
Well, we were worried about how they performed against the Marlins, so I feel like all of this is valid to discuss. Like that, yes. I mean, I could see where it would be considered a red flag if you only beat the Rockies by a score of 2-1. Sure. But at the same time, when you consider how it was done, especially when pitching also got to shine, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm happy about all those things. 630 brings up a good point over text. What scares me about PCA is that he swings at a pitch just inches off of the ground and golfs it out of the park, but misses waist-high fastballs over the middle of the plate. Yes, and you know what that turns into? Swinging and looking silly against a slider. So, yeah, I'm with you when it comes to pitch selection. I'm sure that's something that they go over, too. But for whatever reason, he's got an eye for that low ball like that. And for right now, it's working. That's the hard part, is you don't want him to change too much, like Ian Happ said yesterday. But there is a flip side of that that can make you look really bad at times.
I like the aggression on PCA. And I'm not saying that his pitch selection is always great, But I'd rather him keep the attitude that has gotten him this level of success in this lineup, because there's other guys who do the things that you prototypically would like a batter to do. And that's why when people are like, PCA should hit leadoff, I was like, nah, put him in the three hole or the four hole, because that way his bat matters more. And he's not pressured to take more pitches as a leadoff guy. Ian Happ is perfectly suited for that role.
Can we add a number six to the five on it right now?
Oh, what'd you got?
This is for the group, number six.
Number six. I don't have that ready.
Is Justin Steele's arm the same arm that Ray used to have? The bionic arm that goes...
It absolutely is. I'm having like flashbacks from two summers ago when I dislocated my elbow and I wore the arm brace that looks like a robot arm, and I had every single person that I know come up to me and say like, hey, he looks like you have a robot arm.
Poor Justin Steele. You know that people are probably doing the same thing to him too, right?
I'm sure.
But do you think he did the same thing you did, where every time you move it or he moves it, he goes...
So when I saw...
Or it's like Grandma's Boy, where the guy thinks he's in the Matrix and makes all the noises.
I had four distinct successive, like back-to-back thoughts when I saw Justin Steele walking around the outfield. Here were the thoughts. First was Bionic 6, was an 80s cartoon... Bionic 6, ooh. Second, Inspector Gadget, because that arm, you know, what them arms do.
Go-Go Gadget arm?
Yeah, Go-Go Gadget arm.
Do-do-do-do, Inspector Gadget.
Guys, all of our lives are turning into Inspector Gadget. Do you know how cool I thought it was that Penny could FaceTime Brain on her watch?
Well,
and now that's a thing.
That's a thing. Her and Michael Knight, they knew what was going on well before we did. The third one was the video game, 8-bit, of course, Bionic Commando, because he's swinging around with his bionic arm. And the fourth thing, I forgot what the fourth thing was but I had four.
Well, I'll tell you this, man, the phrase "what them arms do" is now going to be in my head forever.
What them arms do.
My bad.
No, that's fantastic. What are you talking about? That's a great line. It's like when I once said what I said, and then I was like, whoa, can't say that on broadcast.
See, I want him to be like Henry Rowan Gardner. You know the movie Rookie of the Year?
Never heard of it. Tell me about
Cubs pitcher. Obviously, everyone here knows about
Henry Rowan Gardner never hangs out at Cubs games either.
And never sings the seventh inning stretch every year.
Can you imagine if Justin Steele could just throw like 200 miles per hour like this 10-year-old kid? That'd be sick.
If only Justin Steele.
He'd be Daniel Palencia.
And his bionic arm could throw 200 miles an hour. Then we would really have something, guys. Then we would have a contending team.
Oh, $6 million man. That was the other one.
Wow, that is a lot of
old school
altogether.
Yeah.
I just thought about Ray's bionic arm.
Yeah.
I just asked if people knew Rookie of the Year one were in Chicago. So my bad, Chicago.
You know what? It really was it was you knowing something that you're too young to know, and unfortunately all of us, the target demo, knowing exactly what you were talking about.
Okay, that's good.
Next assignment for you is watching The Godfather.
Oh, I've seen The Godfather.
I know people who haven't. It's really scary.
No, great movie.
Yeah, it's
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber, though. I need to see Dumb and Dumber. That's the one movie I haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
Or any Star Wars.
All right, yeah, that's got to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Supply.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
And I love the song. I do. It's got a great beat and it's a lot of fun. I like the way they sing it.
We're live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon.
We are live from Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. We broadcast through the Score Hyundai Studios. We've got a great crowd here at Brickhouse as well who came in early. Coming to you live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville for Cubs on Deck as we look forward to having Ian Happ here at noon. Cubs on Deck powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. Jed Hoyer also talked before the game, and we didn't get to hear that because we were all trying to get ready, trying to get here, had a show, had meetings after the show.
Coffee.
You know, that whole deal. Yeah. So Jed Hoyer did talk before the game, and there was a lot in what he had to say. And I think we probably want to start with acknowledging the discussion that, again, he was approached, and he was asked about Pecoraro Armstrong. You've heard it a lot here on our show. But the latest, as far as the negotiations are concerned, if there are any, and what the progress report is. So let's take a listen.
So now is the dreaded extension question period. You know, the standard answer has to be that, you know, we're not going to talk about it.
Right? Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about, a lot to feel good about here.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it. Yeah, I just think in general, I like all those, any negotiations better kept in house, and I think we'll just do that. But I agree with you.
He specifically said, like, I want to play baseball this year. I thought you said that as well, and then there's kind of like reports hinting at.
We're not being honest. I'm kidding. I said we're not being honest. I was kidding. No, yeah, I mean, ultimately it leaked out that we did. I mean, we hadn't talked in a couple of weeks when it leaked out when we were in LA, right? And obviously, you know, I think that in general, it's just easier to negotiate if it's not out in the media. People aren't speculating on numbers and things like that. You know, even the number that came out about that wasn't right, you know. So I think that's kind of how we view it, is that the more we can keep things under wraps, the better when it comes to that. It's always a player. The not talking during the season to me is that's a player focused thing. Like, you know, I'm not playing. And we can, you know, I've got time to negotiate if they want. But for a player, if it's going to mess with their head, if it's going to distract them or, you know, make them feel different, then like we shouldn't do it. But it's so to me, not negotiating in season, that's a player thing, not specifically a team thing. But I totally respect guys that feel like they don't want to deal with it in season because, you know, they do feel like it messes with their performance. I get that.
So that was hilarious because the follow-up question happened immediately as the organ started. So then I was like, wait, is the organ supposed to accompany this person speaking? Like, how is this working? And Jed Hoyer, to his credit, did try to use some humor, which we've talked about, Jed's humor. But that being the latest in this, I think it makes sense. You know, the Cubs didn't say it was a team policy. They want to be reflective of people who are focusing on their jobs right now. So all of that made it make sense and put it into perspective.
I love that Jed Hoyer kind of put the onus on the player, that he was like, well, you know, players play, and so they don't want to have to deal with this. He's like, hey, man, if you're PCA, you want to negotiate a contract? Come on up to the office. I got some extra time. Kyle Tucker, you want to put this together right now? I got a little time to talk about you. There is no doubt about it. So I like that, and I do also, I gotta give a shout-out to Bruce, too, with the way he prefaced that question, the dreaded, awful question that we now have to ask you. There's my disclaimer. Here's the question. So I just like that we're not going to get anywhere, I don't think, during this. Maybe with PCA, but obviously not with Kyle Tucker. But it is nice that it's still out there, that they're talking about it. And even though Jed can't say much, he's saying a few things, including, I'd love to negotiate.
Here's what I'm confident in. I'm confident that the Cubs will get an extension done with Pete Crow Armstrong between now and the beginning of next season. Here's why that has to happen.
You're putting a dollar on it?
You want to give me a dollar today? You can just give me that dollar to
yeah,
hold it.
Yeah, it's in my notebook.
Okay,
how so much did you
can make
get
that wager.
Paid to do the stretch last thing. You think, get paid to do that.
So wait.
Right?
Yeah.
We got a jersey and some food.
You think there's a world in which, unless Pete Crow Armstrong, and I'm knocking on, is this wood?
I don't know, man.
Knock on wood.
I don't think so.
Okay,
no,
well,
no.
Knocking on wood here. How about that?
I don't think so.
That unless he gets hurt and has some horrible injury, he is going to get paid between now and the beginning of next season. Why am I so confident he'll get paid between now and the beginning of next season? Because every day they don't pay PCA, the price just continues to go up.
Yeah, okay, so multiply that by 10, and that's Kyle Tucker. Like, that's my issue.
But Kyle Tucker, there's a degree of immediacy, because technically with PCA, you don't have to do anything for several years. You'll just end up paying him $200, $300, $400 million, depending on how many years you let this go.
I think when you know that there's a CBA coming up that is due to stop, and when you know Jed Hoyer's in the last year of his contract, I appreciate him talking about at least being asked about Pete Crow Armstrong. It's something that we've put out there a lot. But I don't have the same sense of immediacy about Pete Crow Armstrong as I do about a guy who has single-handedly changed the look of your lineup.
If they had ever signed anyone to a contract worth more than $200 million, then maybe I would say that's true. But because we don't know that they are not going to continue to operate like a small market team, we know that it's imperative that they get PCA at the lowest price possible. I would say that even weighs in on how much they're willing to pay Kyle Tucker, because they're going to be like, ah, you got to pay them both? I don't know if we can afford both of them.
Yes, you do have to pay them both.
I know that. You know that, but we're not the one who are writing the checks.
I know. It's something that we continue to talk about. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I know we're up against it too, but I also appreciated him acknowledging at least the flurry of oblique injuries that they've had as a team. We get bad news on Miguel Amaya.
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a long time, and he's been an appreciated bat in their lineup.
Was that worse news than the Porter Hodge? We just don't know.
Yeah, because 4 to 6 weeks is a long time. Like Porter Hodge, at least they don't want to make an estimation yet. But when you consider 6 weeks without Miguel Amaya's receiving ability and his bat, that's a big concern of mine. I don't think oblique injuries are contagious. I think this is coincidental. I think it's what happens when you have guys who are powerful who use a lot of muscles in their body. But either way, that is a setback that could hurt this team.
I'm not so worried. Like, for whatever reason, and maybe the Cubs have earned this because in the past it hasn't been like this, but the Cubs at the catcher position, there's a little magic going on with
that. Oh, is that what we're doing?
We're leaning to the magic? A little bit. Like, Carson Kelly and Miguel Amaya, like, you can make it, you can make all-star cases for both of those guys that are not going to both go to the all-star game, obviously. And then Reese McGuire, out of nowhere, out of the White Sox irrelevance, Reese McGuire rises.
Was that necessary? Hits the White Sox reference.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
It was, well, because a lot of people around here know Reese McGuire from the Chicago White Sox. So I just
or
thought
other
I'd
headlines.
Give a nice or other headlines. I would just give it a
or
nice
other headlines.
Familiar. The guy comes up, hits. How could you say that after his emotional interview, after he hit those two solo home runs in Cincinnati? And then last night, again, man, low key MVP of the game stuff, throwing out two guys trying to steal second. In down a run and tied 2-2, so I don't know what's going on. Hey, how about Moises Ballesteros? Maybe he comes up. Maybe
he's
we
not
get
ready.
Him.
They've is, already is been he, very clear that he is not ready to receive at the major league.
He's kind of like what Kyle Schwarber was for the Cubs when he came up. He's a okay, right? You're a catcher. I remember Schwarber coming up. The first thing that he did when he came up was warm up the pitcher in between innings, and people got excited. Oh, baby, he's a catcher. Then it was like, is he even a left
the
fielder?
The Cubs carried three catchers confidently that season.
Yeah.
This is not the same.
Yeah, well.
This is the fact that they had depth at the catcher position.
And they've also been, Carson, not just depth, good depth.
Good like, depth. Yeah. Miguel Amaya made great strides. Carson Kelly has had an incredible couple months offensively and is a wonderful backstop.
Almost homered last night.
Right. And you're right. That game yesterday was won on the base pass because what happens? That centipede Crow Armstrong, the third, is what ended up helping them walk it off. That
ballsy.
Was just enough power because Matt Shaw wanted to make contact.
Right.
In order to manufacture
shout
that
out
offense.
To Mr. Shaw, two stolen bases, scored on one of those steals after still in second. So he doubled his stolen base total last night.
Power, speed, I mean, it's something. The power wasn't working last night. I felt like the Cubs, did anybody tell them the wind was blowing in? Because I felt like they were swinging
oh,
for
no,
home
they,
runs.
They knew. That's why everybody was playing small ball once
well,
we got
it, eventually
the sixth inning
they did. Eventually they did.
No,
like,
I don't know,
teams.
Man. I haven't talked about the at-bats in the 10th inning, and that was woof.
Yeah, you were like, getting angry in real time.
Yes, because it's
you're
like,
yelling
you,
at me. I'm
you
like,
know what you're
going
to see in the 10th.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to see out of a reliever who's established, especially when they've got the book on you. You know you're going to get a diet of sliders. Lay off.
Mm-hmm.
This segment was brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We are going to switch gears and talk a little NFL coming up because the news in the league is always happening. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, next with Raheemi Harrison Grody from Brickhouse Tavern on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Craig Counsell.
When I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learn that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Could you expound on that?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
Afternoons on the Score.
And the pitch on the way. They're swinging a looper, shallow right field. It's a base hit. Here comes Birdie around third. He's going to score the winning run. Cubs win the ball game.
Another slider to Shaw. And just what you wanted him to do. You don't want him to look to pull. You want him to try to shoot this ball the other way. He lets that ball finally get deep to him and just dumps one over the first baseman's head. That's a big moment for a young guy in the league who has been up, back to AAA and back up to hit a game winner. That's a big moment for Shaw.
Great call of the game winner last night from Pat Hughes and our buddy Ron Coomer. The lineup for today looks like this. Happ in left, Tucker in right. Suzuki's the DH. Pete Kerr-Armstrong is in center. Carson Kelly's going to catch. Michael Bush at first base. Dansby Swanson playing shortstop. Nico Horner playing second, batting eighth, and batting ninth, playing third base. Mr. Shaw.
He's been amazing defensively. And then with the game winner last night and a lot of opposite field power, we asked Craig Counsell earlier today what he's thought of this version of Matt Shaw.
I'm happy for Matt. I mean, I think I'm happy that the player was able to learn something for the process. He's grown through this process, and it's through failure. And we don't want to say, you know, we forget that we got here through failure, right? He did make adjustments. The adjustments have certainly got him back to a better version of himself, but they happened because he failed. And I think that means it's okay to struggle, to fail sometimes, because that's usually a better version comes out on the other side. And I think that's where that's precisely what's happened with Matt. And that's where the best things happen. And Matt's been, you know, he's been a different player. It's pretty, I think everybody could say that since he's been up here. And that's been fun to watch. It's been really fun to watch the true talent of a talented young player come out.
And that's really cool to hear, because it looks like he's different as a person. The way that he's talking and answers questions, like all of it, it seems like he took out of that process what you dream of a kid taking out of that process. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a very good example. Yeah, I think it's he handled it well. Our player development staff and our major league staff did a wonderful job putting a plan together. It's fun to see the results of that.
It's really interesting to us how it worked. Like, it seems like down on the farm, he was just kind of allowed to be himself and hit well. And it wasn't until like the last couple games that he implemented the mechanical change that you guys had wanted to see. At least that's what we heard from the reporting. But he was doing it in BP. It's an interesting way to do it. Is rebuilding the confidence and the comfort the first task in something like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no easy way to do this, and there's no, I don't think, one playbook to do it. You take these cases a little bit individually, but I think, you know, sometimes you got to wait for the student to be ready a little bit is the best way to say it, right? You got to wait for the time, and when is he going to be ready for it? And then this was just the timeline that this took.
If you missed any of our conversation, or all of it, with Craig Counsell from earlier in the show, then you can go back and listen to the Rewind feature, something you can only do on the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today. I would also recommend the Boog Shambi interview. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
and Boog opened up a little bit about what's been going on with him, why he's missed some games. So it's worth going back and listening with the Rewind feature.
And if you do, you could probably hear this in context or hear it right now, where Craig Counsell talks about the diversified Cubs offense, getting it done in lots of different ways.
Well, number one, we have some really fast players. That's number one. And that's helpful in this category for sure when you talk about base running. I think number two, we've got a lot of players that are just enjoy the details and are really engaged in being great base runner and understand the importance it can play. And we've got great feedback just from the games of like it making a difference. And I think all that stuff, and I think our coaches have done a wonderful job. Base running a lot of times there's some risk to it. So it's like, you know, taking that appropriate risk and knowing that you're going to be wrong sometimes, you're going to make some outs, but it really sets an aggressive mentality. It puts the other team on its heels a little bit, and it's connective for your team. So I think those things have played in our favor, and we've executed a lot of them very well.
Connective for your team. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's a style of play that kind of requires everybody to take part in it, and it's also paying attention to, you have to pay attention to kind of every moment to be able to capture bases and capture the details, and there's some accountability to each other for that.
It's pretty cool. It's a group style of aggressiveness in base running that's contagious.
I thought he was really good talking about that particular subject, and then talking about, everyone knows that Pete's going to try and steal that base, and yet he's able to steal it. It's really good stuff from Craig Counsell, and you should check the whole thing out on the Rewind function on the Odyssey app. There's stuff that we didn't get to from Jed Hoyer, the president of baseball operations for the Cubs. He spoke, and we didn't get a chance to get to this yesterday, but there's stuff here, and there's a particular question that you wanted answered.
Because Porter Hodge is on the injured list with an oblique muscle. Javier Assad is on the 60-day injured list with an oblique muscle. Ian Happ just went to the injured list for the first time in his life with an oblique muscle. Now Miguel Amaya is out probably until the All-Star break or longer, hopefully
with an
not.
Oblique muscle.
You connected all those dots.
I did.
So it's fair to ask, hey, Jed.
What's up with all this?
Yeah.
We're a rotational sport, and I think that guys are bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been. So I think that, that's going to lead to rotational injuries. I think that, I don't know this. I mean, for all I know, in the 40s and 50s, guys had tons of obliques that we never heard about. But, like, I think there's a difference in, the strength of these players and how fast they turn and how often they do it. I think that's the nature of it. It's not a fun injury. It's one of those things, you hear it, it's going to be some time. But I don't know if it's avoidable the way guys train. And I think that's the nature of our sport today in general, is that these guys are just bigger, stronger, faster than they used to be. They throw the ball way harder. They hit the ball harder. They're faster. And I think that leads to more injuries. The alternative to that is to not train as hard, not be as strong, not be as fast, not be as good. But that's being weeded out of the game. And so I just think that, like, that's the nature of the way our sport is played now. And I think that that does lead to more soft tissue injuries as you're trying to kind of optimize your body and optimize your performance.
Having said all that, when it happens to your own team, do you look under the hood?
Of course. Yeah, we mean every injury, you do a post-mortem on all the things that we can control. What that player's workload was, what they've been doing in the weight room,
where they are from a workload standpoint. So yeah, every injury we have, we spend a lot of time diagnosing and the issue. Sometimes they happen. Sometimes we can identify something, but in terms of how much we think about these things, it's significant.
I'm glad that they're looking inward on it. I'm glad it's getting discussed. There's a little bit of a, well, Tommy John surgeries happen approach to this idea that guys are just going to be bigger, stronger, faster, and we want them bigger, stronger, faster, so these injuries will happen. There's a little bit of a throw your hands up in the air part of it that
and
makes
wave
me
wave them like you just don't care.
Right,
and
me,
if you're a square from Delaware, somebody say, oh yeah.
Man, oh, hell yeah.
Thank you, Les. These oblique muscles don't make me want to party like that. Like, it's really got you going.
Well, the thing is that I'm worried about my oblique when I put my hands in the air and wave them like I just don't care. I want to make sure that everything's going to be okay.
Jed doesn't seem to think there's much that they can do about it.
I think that he said that, but I also think that I love the follow-up question. Was that Jesse?
Do you look under the hood?
Yeah,
Jordan Bastion, I think.
Okay, good. Better reporter. Anyway.
You said it this time.
This time. So I do like that he did that, though, just because you do have to go look and go, wait, do we need to, if we're doing an exercise, can we lower the weight on the exercise, or can we lower the rep? Should we be doing that? Because like it's the biomechanical issue of it is difficult. It's the same way that we don't know what the hell is going on with people's elbows.
It's why that good teams have a biomechanics person on staff, or two or three or four, learning about the body. I do love this idea too, that like 40s and 50s might have been full of oblique muscles injuries that just never got reported. It's concept.
But then you knew what the issue was. Guys were moving bricks when they weren't playing baseball.
Stop moving bricks.
I'm like, no, I have to move bricks because you don't pay me. That's why I threw the 1919 World Series.
That escalated quickly to some deep wounds that remain.
You'll never get a bobblehead the way you treat us players.
My God. It's like, you got a lot of feelings going on there.
Well, you know me. I've been trying to feel my feelings lately.
Yeah.
It's good to know I still can.
It's important to know. Jed was also asked if extensions are going to get offered, not just for Kyle Tucker, but how about for Pete Crow Armstrong, who they talked to in the spring, but have they talked since? What's going to happen?
Now is the dreaded extension question period. You know, the standard answer has to be that, we're not going to talk about it. Right.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about, a lot to feel good about here.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about it. I just think in general, like, all those, any negotiations better kept in-house, and I think we'll just do that. But I agree with you.
He specifically said, like, I want to play baseball this year. I thought you said that as well, and then there's kind of, like, reports hinting at...
We're not being honest. I'm kidding. I said we're not being honest. I was kidding. No. I mean, ultimately it leaked out that we hadn't talked in a couple weeks when it leaked out when we were in LA, right? And obviously, you know, I think that in general, this is easier to negotiate if it's not out in the media. People aren't speculating on numbers and things like that. You know, even the number that came out about that wasn't right. You know, so I think that's kind of how we view it, is that the more we can keep things under wraps, the better when it comes to that. It's always a player. The not talking during the season to me is that's a player focused thing. Like, you know, I'm not playing, and we can, you know, I've got time to negotiate if they want. But for a player, if it's going to mess with their head, if it's going to distract them or, you know, make them feel different, then like we shouldn't do it. But it's so, to me, not negotiating in season, that's a player thing, not specifically a team thing. But I totally respect guys that feel like they don't want to deal with it in season because, you know, they do feel like it messes with their performance. I get that.
Should we count my no comments on this question? See how many we get to in 6 months?
That wasn't a no comment, though.
It was not. I also think that at some point during our show, we should just play ambient sound from the ballpark.
Oh, it's delightful.
I think we should let everyone know, like, hey, we're gonna give you 90 seconds of just the sounds of the ballpark. And here's the thing, Spiegs. Is that the live feed right now?
Hey, Tanny, I thought of you because Jake Eisenberg, who's on this week's episode of the PBP, the Young Royals broadcaster, said that sometimes listeners will come up and say, you know, I had a great nap during your broadcast. I hope you don't mind. And he's like, mind? That means I'm doing my job. He gets it. Jake Eisenberg understands the value of a baseball nap.
Tanny, give me some more of that. We'll lay out. Give me some more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is they don't know that we're taking this live. Oh, so you know,
sorry.
Let's give you a little taste.
I just wanted to hear a little more crack of the bat.
That's actually it. Oh, BP.
That's all you get.
That's all right. John Benedek on the organ.
Fair enough. Give me what I needed. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to do 10 minutes on the history of Hey Hey Holy Mackerel. At one point,
it'll have to wait until you get back on Friday.
That's probably true. And maybe not even then.
So we have our lead on Friday. Love that. Start blocking this thing out.
It's perfect for after the game.
You know, ever since I told Alex Kuhn that it was a dynamite drop-in, I feel like he's been very quiet. I feel like I shamed him into less drop-ins. I don't want
No, I was just enjoying the tranquility of the ballpark noise.
All right, good.
I thought he was a really good overnight host.
Less drop-ins?
Yeah.
It wasn't active enough for me.
That's a good point.
He'd drop in,
and then he'd drop out.
And then there was fewer of them as he went on.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Glad we did this.
Yeah, me too.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. There you go.
This is the Happy Days theme song.
You're like, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you guys are playing.
There was this guy named the Fonz. He was really cool.
I've heard of the Fonz.
He jumped a shark. Yeah. That's all I
that's He hit
I
the jukebox.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wore a black leather jacket.
He later was John Ralphio's dad on what was that, Parks and Rec?
Okay.
John How's this Happy Days material doing going for you?
It's really good.
That's what they played last night when Ian Happ caught a ball in left field. They played the Happy Days theme song. It was only for us, though, apparently.
And our organist was young because we got to meet him. We're coming to you live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville for Cubs on Deck. We are looking forward to having Ian Happ here for the whole hour. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. And I also want to point out, you've got a live show coming up in just a few days now. Compound Live on the 31st.
Yeah, we're going to do Compound Live at Music Box Theater, 7 p.m. Saturday.
Oh, sick.
Pete is going to be our guest. Pete Armstrong is going to be our guest.
Well.
Yeah, Dakota's coming down, and Tom Prizman, our producer, works for Marquee now. He's in the city, which is awesome. We're excited. VIP sold out, but we still have GA tickets available. MusicBoxTheater.com, or you can walk over and grab them there.
PCA is a big get. You know that, right? Like, he's like...
Yeah, yeah.
He has to do it.
Can't you just tell him, like, you have to be there?
Yeah, basically,
like,
yeah.
Okay, so not as big a get for him as it would be for us.
Yeah. Can I follow up on something you mentioned last week when we were talking about what looks like a just absolutely massive outfield in Miami?
Yeah.
I was laughing because you're like, yeah, there's a lot of outfield for him to run around in. And I'm like, it was like talking about him like he's a toddler where you're just trying to like tire himself out.
It's like our golden retriever. He just runs around like that.
Just throw the frisbee, see if he can get to it, right? And usually he can.
I was so curious because I heard you laugh and I was like, am I wrong? Am I off base here and thinking that that's what that was? Like, go get it, Pete.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah, that's what... You know, whether it's me and Tuck or Say, it's just like, yeah, man, go get him. Like, we'll be over here. You just go get the rest of them.
Okay, while we're on him then, man, I got to say, like, after every single out he makes, and I'm sure you guys notice this, he is disgusted. It's a helmet throwdown. It's the fake the bat over the knee. Like, he is... How long can he wear that? Or do you think that he can he exist in Major League Baseball if he's going to react to every single out he makes?
He's existing pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
He's doing it. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, that's sure, whether positive or negative.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who he is as a person. He plays the game with a ton of passion, and you know, different guys go about it different ways, and you got to embrace that. And you know, he really wants to be great. He really wants to be a great player at this level. He really wants to succeed all the time. I'm sure that that'll calm itself out a little bit over the course of time, naturally. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is. He really wants to be great.
Ian, I wanted to ask you about something Jed Hoyer said going back to last offseason. He talked about a couple of things. One was the weather, and he made a really big deal about how the weather has affected your ability as a team to score runs and do the things that were projected. And the other thing he talked about was basically along the lines of players playing better than the back of their baseball cards and how no one had exceeded the expectations to the level that's what it was going to take to win. Now, since then, he went out, got Kyle Tucker. That helps. You've seen what PCA has done, which has certainly been better than even the second half of what he did last season when he took the big jump. And now Matt Shaw coming back and playing the way he has. We've had people on our air say that what you guys are doing offensively, it can't last the whole season as far as scoring six runs a game because it's only been done once in Cubs history. Do you feel like this offense is sustainable?
Yeah, I think as long as guys stay healthy, I think this is the version of the Cubs that we kind of all expect or believe that we can be. And it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be exactly like this all year, right? You're not going to get the exact performance from every guy. There's going to be ups and downs for everybody. But I think our lineup's built in a way where when one guy is going through his two-week tough stretch, the other guys are going to pick him up. And I think you'll continue to see that kind of throughout the course of the year. And as long as we stay healthy, I think we have the ability to do that. And to the point of the weather, like we've been the best offensive team on the road in baseball this year. And I think that's kind of a testament to our ability to hit balls out of the ballpark, our ability to score in different ways. And it's something that I think I've talked about a lot today, but I really do believe that that's what makes this sustainable is it's not just guys hitting homers with two guys on base. It's a lot of different ways and kind of up and down the lineup. It's not two guys that are carrying the whole group. You know, Pete and Saya and the amount of runs they've been able to drive in has been awesome, but you're getting it from Tucker, from Carson, from Miggy, from Dansby, like all the way up and down the lineup. You know, you're getting production, and that's huge.
You mentioned Miggy. How much has that lost her? I mean, 4 to 6 weeks, that seems like a long time, just in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's really tough, and, you know, it's going to be that rehab process of the oblique is a tough one, and to go through, like, he's going to have to build it back, and he's going to have to get to a place where he's comfortable, but I think that the ability for this team to weather those stretches just because of the depth of the lineup is there, and I think we're all in the camp of, hey, man, get that right, and you're going to be a huge part of this down the stretch.
I also just want to ask you, so many times we're taught as media people to not ask the phrase, like, how does it feel? I kind of think that's silly, because I do want to know how it feels to you guys, how this run feels, and we've talked so much about, over the years, about data and this and that bearing out in a certain way, and whether or not protection in the lineup is real. I think it is. You know, I think having more talent on your pitching staff also lends itself to that kind of discussion following the bullpen. But all of that said, you know, we're talking to you after a walk-off last night. Like, we've seen what this Cubs team is doing right now. I feel like you can see it in the at-bats. How does it feel for you watching this team come together in this way?
Yeah, I think it feels pretty natural. I think all of us have been on great teams at some point. That when you go to the ballpark, it feels like you're going to win every day. You know, Tuck's had it in Houston, Dansby's had it in Atlanta. You know, I've had it early in my career here. Nico's been a part of it. And so, you know, it feels like that. It feels like you come to the ballpark and you expect to win. And you don't know exactly how it's going to be, but you kind of expect that. And it's a really that's a really good feeling. And it's something that you just continue to build on. And I think you continue to build that momentum and have that belief in the group. And that's a powerful thing.
I also like the idea of what you're saying about, like, this is kind of what we expected out of the offense. And you probably weren't thinking as deeply as I was kind of going in my head, because, like, towards the end of the I guess you could say the Theo Epstein regime, that obviously, which was hyper successful, three straight trips to the NLCS, a World Series victory in 2016. You come on the scene in 2017. And towards the ends of those years, like, later on, like, Theo was big on we're not making contact anymore. It seems like whatever they had going on, hitting the ball over the wall, that was starting to dissipate. And then the idea of making contact became real, and there wasn't enough contact. And now it's like, not only you guys are making contact, but it's hard contact, and sometimes the ball goes over the wall, and you guys are stealing bases, and you guys are hitting these small little hits to win games last night. It feels like this was the sort of rebuild, if you will, that Jed Hoyer had envisioned. Am I overcomplicating it, or is there mm-hmm. something to that?
No, I don't know that there. I don't know that it goes all the way back to like 2017, 2018, 2019, but I think that it is from a roster construction standpoint and from a lineup construction, like, it's not, you're not trying to change anybody to be a different version. You know, you're not asking Pete to walk at a 15% clip. Like, Pete's walking at a 5% clip. He's hitting a bunch of homers. He's stealing bases. Like, that's great.
Be you.
Be yourself.
Yeah.
Tucker is going to not strike out, and he's going to walk a lot. Like, that's who he is as a player. He's always been that guy. Nico's going to put the ball in play a bunch. He's going to have a top five lowest strikeout percentage in baseball. Like, that's who he is. And so you've just built a lineup of guys that you can sustain when a guy's punching 25-30% of the time, because you know you have other guys in the lineup who aren't going to do that. And I think it's this nice even balance where you just let guys go and be themselves, mm-hmm. and it flows really well.
I also want to ask you that question that I had in the last segment about Jameson Taillon, because I know you guys talk quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's a coffee connoisseur.
He really is.
But it does amaze me that he's like, oh, this year I'm going to add a sweeper. You know, just the casual way he's able to add so many pitches into his arsenal. Right now he's working on a kick change, and this is his approach to left-handed batters or right-handed batters, and just how he casually folds in something that is so difficult for other people. What does that say about just not only his approach, but his talent? I've never been more impressed, I think, than perhaps this year in the way he talks about that aspect of his game.
I think it really makes you hate pitchers, doesn't it? I'm just going to add a pitch today. It's like, you know what? I can't just add my, like, I'm going to add the homer swing today. Like, doesn't exist for us. But yeah, it's super impressive. I think his ability, when I was on the IL, I was able to stand in on one of his bullpens and just some of the things he was working on, and his ability to throw, you know, 5, 6, 7 pitches and to do it in a way that it's not easy at this point in your career to add something. You know, he's been really successful over the course of his career. He's been out there and he's had great years, and he gives you a chance to win every time he's out. And so to keep adding things, hey, I don't think I'm being as successful against, or I don't have this pitch to lefties. Well, here, let's try this changeup, and to find a feel for it and to be able to do it. And this year, he had been really successful with the backdoor cutter last year. This year, guys were kind of, lefties were hitting his backdoor cutter, and to be able to say, well, maybe I need to make a change to that. Maybe I need to throw more curveballs or more sweepers or more of this other pitch plus a kick change to lefties to be more successful. The hip shot sinker he's been able to execute a bunch of times this year, and just to continue to build his arsenal and continue to think through the game start to start is pretty impressive. And I think you've seen the results of that and just how consistent and how effective he's been. And it's in the game today, it's really easy to highlight and get super excited about the guys that go out and give you 7 innings, 8 innings, and they have a 0.8 ERA. Like, yeah, that's awesome. It's fantastic. There's only a handful of guys in baseball who are able to do that. A guy that goes out every day, gives you quality starts every fifth day, where it's 2 runs, it's 3 runs, it's 6 innings, it's 7 innings, and you're just always in the baseball game. And with our offense and our lineup, like, that is so huge for us to be able to, he goes out there and we know we're going to be in the game in the 6th or 7th inning. It's really fun to play behind.
We were talking a moment ago about certain rumors out there. Obviously, you guys need more pitching help because you can never have enough arms, right? But there's been this tornado of a swell going around the city of Pittsburgh about what they're going to do with Paul Skenes. And the fact that they're already talking about punting on the Paul Skenes era in Pittsburgh is beyond wild to me, except I used to work in Pittsburgh and cover that team, and I'm not surprised at anything that ownership would do to sell their fan base short. What is this idea that they can't build and spend at least a little money around a guy, a phenom of that talent, of that caliber? He's already been an all-star in his rookie season. Why is this happening in baseball?
There's a lot of reasons why it's happening. Honestly, I don't think they're going to trade Paul Skeens. I think that's more of a media blitz than reality. I don't think Paul Skeens is going to get traded from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, I would be shocked. But I think when you look at it, their number two starter, number three starter, however you want to say it, Jared Jones went down. He had to get season-ending surgery. So they had Skeens, Jones, Keller. It's kind of their top three that were going to be there, that were going to be available. Jones goes down. He's out for the year. Bailey's been great, and they have guys who have had good performances. The guys that they have extended, you know, they keep Ryan Hayes and Reynolds. Like, they have some guys that they've extended. They're going to be there. And when you look at the game today, there is this, hey, if you have a superstar talent and you don't think that you're going to be competitive for 1-2 years, does it make more sense to move that guy and to get two big league ready players plus prospects that you think could be superstars? Does that make sense? And I think there's a real argument for it. I think there's a real argument for, is that maybe the way to rebuild your franchise versus we're just going to hold on to this one guy and we don't have a chance to win, but because he's one of the best players in the game. You see it every year with the guys that are in their third year of arbitration. They're about to be a free agent. They have 1 year of control left. And the GMs feel like they have to shop that guy because they're going to pay. You saw it, Dylan Cease got shopped kind of late into the offseason. Like, well, we only have 1 year of control left, and we have to consider it. And with Juan Soto, you saw it. And then now you see where the Yankees are. You know, they end up not paying Juan Soto, but with that money, they were able to turn that into a Goldschmidt and Bellinger and other pieces. Like, is that a better way to go about it than to have the one guy? And you've seen the Nationals be able to rebuild with all the guys they got back in the Soto trade. Like, there's an argument for, and especially when you're in a small market, to say, like, maybe this is the right thing to do for the health of the franchise. I don't think it excuses having a super low payroll and not being able to build some kind of group around really, really good players, but I think there's an argument for it, but I do not think the Pirates are going to do that. I would be shocked.
We're a long ways away from the end of his arbitration run. I mean, we're not even there yet, so that's why I think it was so shocking to even hear this discussion, but maybe it is just a media thing.
I think it is. I think it's more of something that people are talking about because they're saying with where they're at right now.
Mm-hmm. It's like a logical thing to think of.
And unfortunately, we saw it on the other side of town with Garrett Crochet. Like, you could have argued that they could have built around him. Also said that in his prime, you know, would they be ready? And they end up trading him for a bevy of prospects, and that guy's probably winning the AL Cy Young this year.
Yeah, and I think that you've seen, you know, the examples of superstar players getting traded and the prospect hall not working out. You see that. But I guess what's not talked about as much is when you hold on to a player that you think is going to be great, and then that doesn't work out, and the flip side of that where, well, this guy was supposed to be really good, we didn't, or it was this big prospect when a team was trying to make a run that they this is our untouchable guy that they didn't trade, and then he gets to the big leagues and doesn't pan out, and you don't hear about the flip side of that very often, and I think that's what makes being a GM or a team president so challenging, is you're trying to make those decisions and you're trying to do it in the right windows and what's best for the team, and it's not a science. It's really hard.
Oh, man. I was hoping it was a science. We're going to ask Ian how to put his American Idol judge hat on next.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's time. Stretch. We asked for tips from your teammate with Nico. Mm-hmm. So now we got to ask your opinion on the seventh inning stretch we sang last night. More with Ian Happ from a wonderful crowd here at Brickhouse Tavern. That is coming up next. Rahimi Harrison Grody. More on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up. but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.